Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's your radio friend with lots and lots of good health information and advice. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
You know, Natasha, your journey has been full of speed bumps and ups and downs, and you have gone up against such adversity. And I think today I was just thinking that if you did what you did today and introduced probiotics to the world today, you probably would be so much better received, because as a nation, oh my goodness, we are so unhealthy on every different level, and many of it is self-induced, because back when you did introduce it, we were about 10%, you know, on the unhealthy side. And today, people are 70, 80, 90% unhealthy. So they might have been more received today on a better level, because you'd be talking about things that people would understand. So I can only imagine the mountains that you had to cross to get to today's world.
Well, it was mountains, and I'm still, you know, fighting resistance, because unfortunately, 99% of the products that are on the market are not made by the people marketing them. They don't have their life's work invested into it. They don't have a passion for it. It's basically, you know, telling people what they want to hear and creating a product that makes the most marketing sense rather than the most scientific or ethical sense. And I think this is my great burden that I have today, because I see that the health of our nation is declining, and that people are looking for Band-Aid and quick fixes, or the last blurb they heard for 10 seconds, and they really don't understand the science. And, you know, they've been told, oh, don't listen, it's just competition bashing. And I think they've lost the ability to discern, you know, factual truths, what they hear and what they want to hear. And I think that's where we have to have a huge paradigm shift. Because people have to know who's making the product. And, you know, if someone's telling you that, hey, you know, I sat for 10 years on a probiotic labeling standards group, and it's recommended that the product is thermally controlled, and especially during 9 months of the year, why are people buying products that claim to be shelf stable when there's no independent agency that's verifying that these products are viable, or what organisms are even found in these products? People are confused because they've taken scientific information, you know, frozen little aspects of it, and then blown that up and fed it to a public who is uninformed. And so therefore, they get turned off to the concept of probiotics because they really don't understand. And let's just talk about that. You know, I've been doing this for well over 45 years, and I can tell you that I don't care what organisms you have in the product or how much you jam and load the product with excess cells, let's say 10 times over from what you're claiming on the label, no probiotic product can survive 120-degree warehouses or FedEx trucks or UPS trucks for hours on end and then arrive, you know, viable for you to consume. So since there is nobody with a standard and nobody checking these products, it's really consumer beware. And the stores selling these products don't want to hear anything because they think it's bad for business, so they'll just sell these products to you. So what I'm trying to say is that microorganisms, even probiotics, bacteria are very smart, and they're the most self-centered entities that you can think of. They don't play nice with each other. And so when you put them in a capsule together and then you expose them to heat and other adversities, try to hold the growth of each other because they want to dominate. So those products can, you know, give you the best results, but you've already been damaged.
You know, I think one of the things that I know what you're trying to say, and it really does make good sense to me, you know, is we have to make sure that we are choosing wisely. We do go to all ends and all different levels of success to be as healthy as we possibly can. And think about the rest of our lives, the things we do every single day, the research that we do, the questions that we ask, you know, whether we're getting a new electronic device or we're buying a car or we're buying a home or we're shopping for a new pair of work boots for our job, or we're looking into things that we want to add to our life or things that we've been saving for, and the questions that we ask before we even make a purchase. These are very, very intricate things that we do every single day. And I think what happens is for many of us, you know, we use these strategies for question answering, for everything in our life except for some of the most important things. And some of the most important things that we do, we have a tendency to cut corners. I don't know whether it was the dawn of fast food and processed food, or the dawn of self-service lifestyles, or whether it was just the idea that we could jump on and do things a little bit differently. I think we just have to realize that the amount of things and mental energy and emotions that we use every single day for choosing an electronic device, a car, a home, clothing, the things we go, the extent we will go to do our research before we'll make a purchase, needs to be brought over into the area of the most important part of our life, which is our health. People will grab something off a shelf and just think that they're doing something good for themselves. And you know, Natasha, not a lot of questions are asked, and not a lot of people take the time to do any background strategy. They just kind of grab something. And I think what ends up happening is they may not get any kind of the results they're looking for because they didn't really ask any questions in the first place. And I think that sometimes we just go into kind of grab off the shelf mode and not ask any questions, but we do it in every other part of our life.
Precisely, Jeffrey, and that's what I'm trying to say, that you have to be informed, because the reason people are confused is that virtually 90% of the products sold in the health food industry, whether in the shelf-stable section or in the refrigerated section, is produced by one company, and then various labels are adhered to various concepts. So that has to be brought forth, and a person has to spend more time digging down for what the truth is here, because this is the most important aspect of your health. If 99% of your genetic expression is controlled by the 100 trillion microbes that live in your gut, then of course your diet, your exercise program, and the probiotic you take has a huge impact on that ecosystem that controls every aspect of your health. Why on earth wouldn't you spend as much time investigating the right probiotic from somebody who's been doing this for more than 45 years, and then not spend more time, you know, choosing your, as Jeffrey said, your electronic device? Mm-hmm. To me, it makes absolutely no sense. And I think that if the consumer became more educated and we went to the labeling standard, now remember, this labeling standard was voted on by the entire industry. It was also read into congressional record. That's where we should start. We should demand that the people who sell us these products tell us exactly how much of each microorganism is found in that product, and if it's viable through a printed expiry date. And if they can't do that, then why is it listed as a product ingredient? Because each one of these organisms has a function in our body. And because we don't want to take the time to understand the complexity of microbiology and what the difference between the microbiota and the microbiome is, that's why we can be so easily seduced by marketing campaigns and byproducts that are ineffective. And then people say, oh, you know, I've tried probiotics. It doesn't do a thing for me. And you know, it doesn't really work. Well, of course it can't work if there's no standard. Just imagine if your cellular phones, which is an intrinsic part of our daily life, were made with no standards, and you were not able to get a connection, people would be up in arms. Well, just because you can't see what's going on in your gut doesn't mean that you should spend less time investigating what's going on with the product that you're ingesting to improve your health. And, you know, here is where I also want to take a minute and say, besides the probiotic labeling standard for probiotic supplements, people are misled daily on the effect of, you know, probiotic foods. And that's what I'm saying. The probiotic foods cannot guarantee you any amount of living microorganisms through a printed expiry date. and they're usually full of sugar, which stimulates other bacteria in your gut. And so therefore, you should know that what I call good probiotic foods are really a functional food. They give you more than just the nutrients found in that food because they make it bioavailable. But they are not a controlled amount of probiotic bacteria that you need to ingest to control that ecosystem or improve that ecosystem in your gut that really is responsible for all your health. And I think this simple concept people have to understand. And you have to ask yourself, why do you have so many people taking, you know, antacid medication? They have digestive issues. Everywhere I go, I'm, you know, bombarded with questions about people not being able to digest their food. Our children, the rate of autism from the 1970s being in 1 in 10,000 are now 1 in 45, according to the new CDC stats. We have children who have attention deficit, who have hyperactivity, who are autistic in their behavior. And you have to ask yourself why. What has changed in our diet and the way we treat our children that is causing these problems that is going to really be a hardship on our nation and the economy? People don't understand that, you know, societies that lose their health and the function of their health become societies that can't compete on the global market because they're, you know, majority of their citizens are sick or chronically ill and taking medication. So I think we as a nation have to decide, and individually, that, as Jeff said, spend as much time investigating what supplements you're taking, what supplements you need to take, what is a really good diet based on historical evidence, not just some theory that somebody publishes in a book and everybody jumps on because the theory, you know, is good. What has been around for decades? What has proven effective? What is a solid diet for each person to engage in? What is a true probiotic supplementation program? What are the good probiotic foods that we should be consuming on a daily basis? And what exercise regimen should we all do? If we do that, it could really turn around the cost of medical care in this country. It could make a lot of us more healthy. It could really change the lives of our children. And it could make a big difference in our country and our communities. And I think if people understood what I'm trying to tell them now, that gut health is related to every issue of health in our body, whether we're 1 year old or 80 years old, it remains the same, and it becomes more crucial as we age because the body is declining as we age, and we need to do a lot more to support it as we age. And unfortunately for us, I'm seeing the problems in infants increase exponentially from even 20, 25 years ago. Our children are experiencing problems that was only relegated to people past in their 50s. So we have to ask ourselves the question, is the health of American citizens better today, or has it declined radically in the last 20 or 30 years? I think if you look at the stats or just talk to people you know, you will see that the decline in health has grown exponentially. And the fact that we're educated about organic foods and fresh foods and how to take care of them is terrific. But now we have to learn about the microbial load that's found in those foods, how to keep our food safe, how to improve that ecosystem in our gut, and how to do it on a daily basis. And I think without overwhelming anybody, I think we should start by learning the probiotic labeling standard and applying that to trying to use a probiotic and trying to learn what diet works for us and what is a real diet for us that will make us healthy and what exercise program we should choose. If every person took a half an hour today to investigate this, I think they can dramatically improve their health within a couple of months.
Do you see us getting, as a nation, more unhealthy, or do you see this finally going to start to register and we're going to snap out of it and start facing our early demise with these older age at one time health problems and maybe take back our health?
Well, I don't know. I mean, human nature is thus. I don't know what got people interested in the organic movement. I think they're very dedicated to getting GMOs out of our foods, which I am supporting and supportive of, and I'm happy that people are aware of organic foods, but they should be even more aware of the microbes in their gut and start learning about those microbes and not learning to take a product to take care of a symptom, but learning how to change the ecology in their gut and how to keep it healthy every day without listening to the person who has access to their ear and telling them what they want to hear and, you know, trying to go for the flavor of the month. I think, you know, our country is not going to change its health profile until we become as serious about our health as we are about our electronic devices, because we certainly are very savvy when it comes to purchasing our electronic devices, but we're certainly not savvy at all when we're investigating diets or supplementation programs or even our exercise programs. It seems to be that we're still immature as a society and choose that which is, you know, presented to us in what I hate to use the word, but in a sexy fashion that captures our imagination. And we do very little research to really validate what we're hearing and whether or not it can impact our health. So in a nutshell, I'm sorry to say I don't see our health improving because I haven't seen a movement like we had in the 1960s where people really radically wanted to change their diet in the health food industry.
You know, I think that for many of us, we are truly putting ourselves into a unhealthy situation every day, and it's just become convenient. It's become comfortable. And it's become, you know, these so-called comfort zones that we talk about all the time. My comfort zone. A comfort zone basically means something that's familiar, something that's comfortable, but it doesn't always mean something that's good for us. And if we had to write down and keep a journal of what we did, what we ate, and how we lived every single day, I think rather than it being a really functional novel, it would be more like a horror tale for many of us, because I don't think we realize, because on autopilot, we do unhealthy things without even thinking about them anymore.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Jeffrey. I think the first step people can do is go to the natrin.com website, look at the probiotic labeling standard that I put together for the industry, and the industry voted on once in 1989 and then decided to submit it as part of congressional record in 1995. So it's not just my imagination. This was discussed by academic members, industry members, people who were passionate about the industry. And I think we have to get back to some grassroots here. I think that, you know, the health food business has really become a business and not a movement anymore. And I think we have to step back and say, who are the people we're going to follow and who are the people who are giving us new and usable information that can change our health? Because unfortunately for most of us, we don't listen to those people who are the true pioneers, and they've disappeared from our industry. And the wrong people are being listened to and given the accolades. And I think as each individual, we have to decide what role we're going to take to health or to ill health.
I hope you've enjoyed the conversation today. This is an amazing history and also just a deep-rooted passion that we talked about with Natasha Trenev today. The long journey, now well over 45 years in the making, and where we are today as a nation and where we were, and in a scary fashion, where we're heading. We all have to take control of our health again. We need to install her version of what she calls the Healthy Trinity, which is an amazing quality diet based on time, you know, tested, not just on a whim, a quality exercise that you enjoy doing, that fits the bill and you don't mind doing on a regular basis, and of course the choosing of a quality, high-integrity probiotic, because that's what it's all about, quality, integrity, and making a dramatic change, putting yourself first. And maybe for the first time, many of us as a nation will start to put the time and the energy into the most important part of our daily routine, which is how to get healthy, how to maintain our health, how to regain our health, and then yet again, how to hold on to it along the way. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke. This is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this and all of my segments, visit my show page at radiomd.com. I thank you for tuning in, and be well.